Hey there, Lions fans. This is the M66 North Detroit Lions podcast coming to you from north of the 45th parallel physically, but in our minds, we're coming from Randy's Donuts in LA, where the Super Bowl is happening this year. And back in the day, that was kind of how Randy and I started, was I'd get off work at about 6, 7 a.m. and I'd come over here and with some donuts for Randy, and we'd talk football for a couple hours. And,
I'd bake the coffee.
Or more than a couple hours.
I'd bake the coffee, he'd bring the donuts.
Yeah, and I'd drink beer because it was happy hour. You know? Since we were doing that, and then Tom got involved because he had been talking with Randy for years. Right? So I actually the last guy into the mix here. So Randy, yeah. Tom, and Rich here with you.
Tom and I go back way before the Ebron pick. So
yeah, we go back a little bit.
Yes. So Randy's Donuts, the famous donut in movies, and a big.
It's actually not big. It's actually not big. It's just a little place. It's just got a big sign above it.
Huge donut sign. Yes. Iconic. Movie LA prop.
It's really. The donuts that count.
Hey, yeah, they're famous.
You know? Yeah, but the best donuts of all come from Detroit, the Krusty Kremes. I love them.
Well, they're nationwide. Crispy, not crusty.
Or crispy. Yeah. Crispy.
Crusty. I don't think anyone wants to call anything
Krusty Burgers. What the hell's his name?
Krusty the Clown.
SpongeBob.
Oh, SpongeBob.
Yeah, Krusty
Burgers.
Just when
I was taking a drink, too.
A whole other cartoon.
Yeah. No Krusty's on my Krispies, please.
Gosh, they did have Dilla's Donuts down there for a while. Dilla's Delights and... a couple other donut places have succumbed to the COVID shutdown, and it's too bad. It's a big deal down there for a while. Hopefully they'll come back in some fashion. Mm-hmm. But hey, we're here in LA for the Super Bowl in our minds at Randy's Donuts, talking football, talking Detroit Lions football, talking Senior Bowl football.
Week this week.
It was a good week. Yeah, we're not talking... Pro Bowl football. We're talking Senior Bowl.
Is that still going on, that Pro Bowl stuff? Is it still going on?
Yeah, they did it yesterday. Yeah, they were playing
Sunday.
They were playing so slow, the game is still going on.
Little tag.
Oh, damn, tag. I missed it again.
Maybe some East-West Shrine Bowl talk. That was
Thursday.
Thursday. Yeah.
That was a good game.
It was.
I missed that one. Guys.
Probably the best offensive line was the West team.
Of all the collegiate all-star games.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, it was probably the best offensive line.
Yeah, between the collegiate bowl two Saturdays ago.
That one I did watch.
And then that was good. And then the Shrine game. Both games ended up 24-25. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. And basically, in both cases, you had teams that, you know, were off to a big lead, and then the other teams came storming back.
Good football to watch.
Yeah, it was good football.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
So what else? And the Lions had some coaching hires then, since they were coaching at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
Some things came to fruition that we kind of thought might happen.
What'd
you think about that?
We knew that we needed an offensive coordinator because it wasn't going to work out anyway. So, you know, as soon as the season was over, his contract came to an end. So they promoted Ben Johnson to offensive coordinator this week. And I, myself, guys, I'm ecstatic to see this. I think he was
a tight ends coach, right?
Yeah. And then he got promoted to passing game coordinator. And it was a lot of the reason why Detroit had success with their offense last year.
Yeah, Ben Johnson in his career has coached quarterbacks, wide receivers, tight ends, pretty much the gamut there, you know, of the skill positions on the offense. He was a quarterback himself back in college.
Long time ago.
Just the one thing that, you know, just a little pushback on my side, it was reported, this is from what I heard, that Dan interviewed two other people. And I was like, you know, Is that enough? You know, I mean, there's a bunch of guys out there. I mean, there's a bunch of guys out there with offensive coordinator experience that even Dan has crossed, you know, some paths with.
Yeah, so. You figure he's been around a while. He probably knows a plethora of people to keep it clean.
Well, from, you know, somebody even speculated that one of the people that he may have interviewed was Jay Gruden. I can think of, you know, two or three or four other guys, even besides him, that, you know, that are probably all looking for jobs. But then again, you know, maybe they're already set up with another situation. So who knows? But
we're waiting to see what happens with some of the other teams that are just figuring out their head coach.
That was their roster
of coaches.
Yeah, that was the thing. It's like the Bears lost more or less their coaching staff. They're putting that back together.
Yeah, there's nine teams.
There was a bunch of teams.
Looking for guys.
Veteran offensive coordinators in the Bears, the Raiders.
Jacksonville.
I was kind of surprised. I mean, the Raiders have, you know, what's going to happen there.
The Raiders are going the Patriot way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Josh McDaniels is going to do for offensive coordinator. But, trying to think of who was there, but he's a veteran coordinator. Been around for
I heard
a
Tom
while.
Brady might be looking for some work.
Detroit. Who?
Tom Brady.
I don't think so.
It doesn't seem like he'll be the next head coach of the Michigan Wolverines.
No.
Some people want it. Yeah, that works out perfect.
You know, Harbaugh.
Slide in Tom Brady. Yeah. There you go.
So he went to Minnesota, talked it over. Got a great big offer. It's not good enough.
Yeah, he probably wanted total control, is my guess. You know, GM, everything.
Yeah, and I said that before, too. I said if he goes there, he's going to want total control, and I really don't think they'll give it to him.
No.
And they did it, you know, right. So.
Yeah, that's shooting yourself in the foot for 5 years.
We didn't even throw off for him, and supposedly, you know, the offer was somewhere in the 10 million-dollar plus range, you know, and it's like, you know, guy, why would you do it? All he's looking for is attention, you know. I mean, you know, and you know, some sort of leverage to get more money out of U of M.
Right. Well, he's like what's sixth highest paid or whatever in the Big Ten,
probably,
and, you know, something like that, or whatever. Yeah, maybe not six, but he's at least behind State. And Penn State.
Yeah, they're newer contracts.
Yeah, and probably the Ohio State kid,
contracts.
Too. So they're all kids to me and us. So he deserves some money.
I think these big college coaches from, you know, the large universities are making more money than the pros.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so he, you know, and now he's,
That's
it. I'm never going for the pros again. This is it. I'm a Michigan man forever. I'm going to make... Well, whoever knows, whatever he's going to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Millions. He still hasn't signed a contract.
So what did you think, though, about Ben?
Ben Johnson.
Being hired.
I like it. I assumed this is the way that they're trying to build the franchise, that they're going from within. And I can see where an outside, one more outside guy would have been interesting, would have been good, could have been good, say. But I like Ben Johnson. Mm-hmm. I like the story that is Ben Johnson right now.
He's never done it before.
Right.
He's been with Dan Campbell since they were both at Miami. You know, that's where they believe it all started.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. So it is a long-term relationship. So you can't really ask for...
You know, 7-8 years.
Yeah, it's a long time in the NFL.
Yeah, they're on the same page, though. That's the thing, though. They're two coaches that are on the same page, you know.
Yeah. They've only worked together as coaches for, you know, a year now. You know, we'll see. And it's quite possible that he's not going to have to rely on Ben Johnson to call plays either. So maybe, you know, that's not a worry, but maybe... It becomes a worry because Ben Johnson isn't calling plays. We'll see what they do.
I think they'll call them together. I think they'll create them together. They'll make them together. They'll call them together. Yeah,
I think that's...
Only one guy gets to talk to the quarterback, Randy.
Well, I understand that, but it doesn't mean that they can't be 2 feet apart talking to each other before they make a decision. You know,
they're saying
they chat all the way through the game. And
exactly.
All that kind of stuff.
That's exactly. You know,
the guy that's calling the plays is calling the plays. And, you know...
Making the decision.
I think Dan just, you know... This to me is kind of the easy hire, not necessarily.
But I think that's what. When you're hiring from within, it's always an easy hire.
Yep. So we'll see. We'll see if he can build on this. I mean, after all, it is just his second year. So would say now. Aaron Glenn got interviewed.
From Minnesota?
With the Saints.
New Orleans.
Northern Saints.
Right.
They ended up going with their defensive coordinator that everybody thought was the front runner.
Inside hire.
Yep. So it
Dennis
looks like,
Allen.
Yep, right. Dennis Allen. So it looks like Aaron Glenn is back in the fold. But just as soon as that happened, then we hear that Aubrey Pleasant is requested an interview with Minnesota to be their defensive coordinator.
He requested it?
No, Minnesota requested it.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, and rightfully so. He's got history with the new
head coach.
Head coach, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he
was McVay's offensive coordinator, was he?
Yeah, they both came from L.A.
Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah. There you go. And so that's a little worrisome.
Well, I liked what Aubrey
did last year with
Detroit. I mean, he worked with Jerry Jacobs, my God, what can you say,
Yeah, we're thankful.
Yeah, so, if he's got an opportunity to upgrade, to go to a different team, it's sad that, it's a divisional rival, but, you got to be happy for him to make that upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. To get that promotion is huge.
Yeah, it's not going to benefit the Lions at all.
No, not at all.
No. But I don't think he's the favorite for the job, so
that's a little
bit of a positive in our
in retrospect.
Yeah, another situation where you have head coach that's never been a head coach, and he's going to hire a guy to be a defensive coordinator that's never been a defensive coordinator.
Exactly.
I don't know. That's kind of a recipe for disaster, if you ask me.
A little too much newness, but, Lions sort of did that last year. So.
Yeah, I know. But that's fine if they want to do that.
If they
want to
get three wins.
Yeah, well,
we want them to get three wins next year.
In retrospect, he did talk like Glenn did. He said, hey, I want to be the best in Detroit before, you can't do that after just one season.
I think he may have.
But I don't know. We'll see,
Best defensive back coach that we've seen in a while.
That's
for sure.
That was
basically...
Maybe not ever, but...
Yeah, but that's been the downfall of Detroit's coaches,
secondary.
Head coaches,
yeah.
Over the... For decades, is they... they're... Too many of their either coordinators or position coaches were just not very good. Just guys that they're, hometown guys, but drinking buddies or whatever they were, and they just kind of drag them along with them, and they just, they didn't develop people, or whatever the situation may be. So it's good to see coaching staffs that, not only develop people, but, outside people could recognize it.
Yeah.
And say, oh, wow, look, this guy can coach. That's good to know.
Now, wasn't it the Senior Bowl who Aubrey Pleasant got moved up. Was it Jet Bodkins that took over as the DB's guy?
I think so.
Was
Bodkins...
He got promoted. I know.
Was he a special teams coach? I thought he was special teams.
It could be. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But everybody kind of got... There was a bunch of people that got, bumped up.
Yeah, I couldn't remember who might have taken over for Audrey in the DB's department there.
I'm not positive.
I'm not either.
Me either. I'd have to hear the list of names.
Yeah, and you're right. I think Jack was special teams, yeah.
But sticking back with the, with the NFC North, and the coach he hires, So we don't. Minnesota's still looking for, you know, they've got a head coach, but they're putting together, you know, a staff. And the Bears.
Who'd Bears hire?
Matt Eberflus.
Eberflus.
And they got a new GM too, Ryan Poles.
Ryan Poles.
Where did Poles come from? Anybody know?
Was that Buffalo?
Hang on. I think I got that written down somewhere. My file cabinet fell last week, remember?
I'm not sure if Chicago, I mean, it probably drafted better than Detroit has in the recent history, not including this last year.
Their quarterbacks. I don't think they do it necessarily correctly a lot of the times, you know. It's like
crazy thing is they're beating us. You know, we're beating we beat Minnesota, but we're not. You know, I mean Chicago, and you know, we're struggling against it.
Why was it that Trubisky could just nail us every time? You know, dude, one of the few teams he just.
Mainly because they ran the ball on us. You know.
Yeah, but see, like Trubisky.
Montgomery always has good games.
Didn't work against other teams. You know, Chicago couldn't beat other teams, but they could beat us.
Well, because we didn't have a good run defense.
Exactly.
So then we had to bring an extra guy up in the box, and as soon as we did that, then Trubisky started looking like, you know, he was some sort of great quarterback.
He still couldn't roll out to his left and throw the ball, even against the Lions.
Okay, so those are the new head coaches.
Yeah. I can't find where Eberflus is from. I haven't written down.
I think the Lions only get to play two teams next year with the new coaching staffs, other than the Bears in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I think it ends up six games. Jacksonville, and there's one other.
Colts. Eberflus is from the Colts.
Yeah. Oh, that I knew.
Yeah.
I thought you were looking for Poles. No, we're looking for Poles.
Poles came from Kansas City.
Okay. Not Buffalo. Kansas City.
And let's see what else I got out of here. Oh, is Rodgers leaving Green Bay? Hell yeah, he's leaving Green Bay.
See how the offseason goes with that.
Yeah, that's probably the only thing going on up there, the big dilemma of Green Bay is Aaron Rodgers. You know, they had no coaching problems. They had no GM problems.
Right.
But, you know, they
got cap problems.
Apparently they are trying to put together something to keep Rodgers there.
They did come out and say, yeah, we want to keep Rodgers. We don't want to trade Rodgers, blah, 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 blah.
It'll all come down to what he wants.
And exactly. He hasn't said anything, so...
No, he'll drag it out. He's a big drama queen.
Big time.
He'll drag that out.
He said look for a decision right around the end of free agency. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So what did you think of the Lions coaching staff? You know, Deuce Staley being the head coach, you know, at the Senior Bowl and coordinator upgrades, you know, or...
Yeah, see, though, as far as the coaching goes overall, you know, I didn't really...
Did you watch any of the practices?
I did watch a lot of the practices, but I didn't really see how they were coaching because a lot of times they were on the other teams and stuff. But
I watched them like from 3 to 5.
See, I missed a lot of them.
Wednesday and Thursday.
It upset me.
It was awesome.
It was hard to follow for me a little bit.
I thought it was great. It looked just like the training camp we went to.
I could follow the offense better than I could the defense.
I think they even showed more offense than defense.
That's coverage from everything this week has been all about offense and quarterbacks.
It's been horrible.
Horrible. unless you're listening to some podcasts. But even them, every podcast opens with Malik Willis.
Oh my God!
Said the conversation goes on and on and on. Yeah. Malik Willis to Detroit. So much that somebody got him in a Detroit uniform.
It took us almost 20 minutes to get to Malik.
Put
Willis.
Put a picture out there. So that's pretty good. Detroit uniform.
I mean,
that's pretty good.
About 20 seconds is all we need to talk about. I mean, I'm not kidding you guys. Look, you know, just for the folks listening out there, maybe didn't get a chance to watch the games or whatever, you know, and everybody was talking this guy up all during practice. And anytime you saw Mark Brunell, Willis was right next to him. You look for Willis, there was Brunell. All right, I mean, he was attached to Brunell's hip all week, you know.
Well, that's a smart kid.
You know.
Unless.
And Howell was right, you know, typically right there with him, and Zappy. But those guys, it was like, yeah, they'd shake their head. They knew who he was talking about. And it was almost like he had to give a dissertation to Willis every time, to get everything across. Everything, oh, gee, you know, what a great deal.
Right.
You know, all this and that and the other thing. And he was so excited that you know, he went through four, you know, different reads on one play.
Right.
And then Willis was like, oh, I don't know why he's so excited, you know. And I'm thinking, because you don't do it in a game. It's one thing to do it in practice, but to see it in a game. So the first thing he does is go back. And, I mean, one of the first plays, you got a guy on the outside receiver, going straight down the field, taking his defender, and you got a slot guy that's actually in tight. He goes down, and I'm thinking, well, if that guy's to the right going deep, then an out cut here is wide open. Because the defender was on his inside leverage, and he was basically defending the seam route. And, I mean, soon as the guy put his foot down, his head went down, his shoulder went down, I knew right then, I'm like, throw the ball! And I mean, he planted that left foot, made the out cut, and I mean, the defender was three steps away and was trying to change direction while this guy was already speeding up. And what does Willis do? He pulls it down and takes off in the other direction.
Got it right.
Because he didn't see it.
Right.
He never saw, you know, it's like, you've got to read the defenders. That's the first thing you have to do. And when we got in, you know, in that game, I sat there and watched him. Yeah, he can scramble out. And yes, he was under pressure. You know, it was a terrible job by the offensive line.
Yeah.
So it made it kind of tough to give him good evaluation.
Yeah, well, he did run pretty good. He had 54 yards.
Well, yeah, he runs fine. But he's not that big.
Well, he was the leading rusher, wasn't he, of the game?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. You know? He had one big run.
Yeah, he had four pass attempts.
I mean, it was like, throw the damn ball. Finally, he threw to an open guy, you know, in front of him. There was a couple times when he missed a wide open guy in front of him because he's trying to make a play farther down the field. You know, I'm like, you know, stop trying to be a superstar and show us that you can make the simple play.
Right.
You know, so he finally does it. The guy catches it, rolls out of the first tackle, heads upfield, lowers his shoulder, barrels into the guy, takes two or three more steps. Finally, a third guy comes in, knocks him down. He ends up making like a 5 or 6 yard catch into a 14-yard play and a first down. And I'm like, see, that's all you got to do. Put the ball in your playmaker's hands. That's what your job is, the quarterback.
It's an all-star game, right?
No.
Well, it was.
For them, it's an all, but they still got to play right.
Yeah.
You know?
But
we didn't want to see Willis running around.
Well,
he's
no,
not a freaking running back.
It's an all-star game. There's a shitload of talent to throw to. That's
should've
what
been.
I'm getting at.
Should've been.
Yeah. And he didn't.
Yeah, because, I mean, he was under pressure and he didn't anticipate
the
pressure.
Routes. Yeah.
So rather than throwing the ball, he ran.
Yeah.
They should have started Howell is what they should have done.
Well, I felt so.
Yeah, that to do that pissed you off.
Unless you want to see how he deals with the pressure.
Yeah, whatever. Right? I was just glad they got him out of there after that first quarter.
Yeah.
You know. And even that last play of that quarter, I mean, you know, they were running out of time, but he took off running. He got down to the 5-yard line. So, I mean, you know, he padded his stats, you know, from a running standpoint. There's no doubt about that. But it didn't mean anything. They never scored. They turned the ball over there. So, you know, I was glad to get Howell in there. And, you know, but, the offensive line was terrible. I thought the national team's quarterbacks were better. Their running backs were better. Their offensive, defensive lines were better. So I'm not really sure why we chose the American team, honestly.
There was nothing that really, it wasn't the offensive line, that's for sure. But we didn't need an offensive line, so maybe...
I mean, I wanted to...
Maybe that's what they were thinking.
That could be. Could be.
You know?
Could be.
And it's, let's see what Malik Willis can do with a bad offensive line. which is what he really had in college.
Run. That's
but try and yeah, I mean, try and pull some, you know, NFL type of scheme out of him and see what happens. And it didn't go so well.
Yeah.
But they,
a lot of people thought he was outstanding.
They did.
You guys don't get it. You just don't even understand what a professional quarterback is supposed to be.
Yeah. Well,
they'll teach him. This guy looks like he needs 2 to 3 years before he ever takes a snap.
I have heard that in a couple arguments, right?
To me, it's just a waste.
But they still put him as number one, you know.
Yeah, if they decide to do that. I really don't think they're looking for a quarterback this year.
Most people have him like 5 or 6, and maybe.
If they take a quarterback, it'll be in the later rounds. That's what I think. I don't think there's anything really worthwhile.
We're going to see it as we head into free agency. Yeah. You know, do they re-sign, you know, Tim Boyle?
I hope not.
You know, cheap. I do. I hope they do.
Yeah, at this point, he's as good as any of them.
I hope they can upgrade from it.
Not at that money, they can't.
Right.
They don't have, you know, everybody thinks they get a bunch of money. So do you. They don't have a bunch of money.
No, I don't think they got a bunch of money. I just think you could upgrade Tim Boyle. That's all. I think you can.
Well, that's a conversation. Well, sure they can. But how much money?
Well, I don't see why they have to pay more than what they're paying.
Well, they won't get an upgrade.
I mean, we know David Blau was better than Tim Boyle.
Yeah, come on. That's our opinion.
Well, still, that's an opinion.
Not my opinion. You know?
Yeah, that's not Dan Campbell's opinion. It's not Rich's opinion.
Yeah.
I think that he was improving.
Well,
to be honest with you.
In reps and the way that the coach spoke about him towards the end of the season and the body language he was using and the inflections that he was using, he was almost pissed off that he was even having to still ask the goddamn question, you know?
Right. Even not playing him the last
game.
That's
what I get out of the backup quarterback position.
To me, it's like if they were not going to re-sign him, you know, or weren't sure if they would have played him in the last game, you know, to give him one more chance. Instead, like you said, they were like, you know, he's fine. You know, they like him good enough. I think at that price... I mean, that's the whole thing. Jeff Risden put out an article the other day about can we, you know, upgrade from from Goff, you know, and he put out all the quarterbacks that might be available out there and what would be an upgrade, you know, and basically none of them really are, you know. And when you look at the backups.
Especially these last 6 games.
At small money backups, you're not going to find much any better than Tim Blau or Tim Boyle.
The other TB.
3 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. That's what he had this year.
Yeah.
He started 3 games.
Yeah.
What are you going to get out of any rookie?
Well, I think you'd get more than David Blau, but that's just me. I mean,
unfortunately, we didn't get. Well, I mean, he played the year before.
Yeah. And
didn't win a game.
With really good wide
receivers.
He had, let's see,
it was actually probably a better team.
David Blau had 4 touchdowns and 7 interceptions.
Every year these quarterbacks should be getting better. It's like this argument with Stafford. Oh, it's Stafford's fault that we didn't win. You know, well, you know, Stafford, he's gotten better every year he's played. You know, so when we went to the playoffs in 2011, I mean, he was only a 3-year guy.
Right.
You know, in 14, okay, you're up to 6.
Yeah, but the defense wasn't as good as 11.
Yeah, and by that time, you know, and then the team was degrading, so then he was there at 8. So
you get one on the uphill, one on the downhill.
Yeah, as he was getting better, the rest of the team was getting worse.
Yeah, and that was the game that was the Detroit Lions under Millen and Mayhew.
Yeah.
Where they just drafted the flashy player in the first round to try and put butts in the seats and pop the eyes of the viewers and sell tickets and it wasn't about building a team.
Yeah.
And getting what the team needed to stay at an even level there when things were matching up, and it was too bad. And now we're in a whole different situation.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing. They, you know, it's a new owner, new management. new coaches,
new directions, new ideas,
smarter
people. And they really do have to start over.
Football intelligent people that know what football is, and what you got to do to make it. That's a hard thing in the NFL to do. Just put an NFL team together.
Sure is.
Yeah.
But we got a pretty good.
But yeah, I wasn't that impressed with Willis at all. So I mean.
So me either.
No, he's no Joe Burrow. Right, he's not or
no,
Herbert,
not at all.
Right,
Howell
Herbert that comes out of nowhere.
I thought was good too.
Yeah, kid from North Carolina. I thought.
Ritter's a tall kid that's got
He's still my favorite.
I like Ritter too.
Yeah, I've read he's like the most football ready right now. Or
But he's still a backup. That's the thing. He'll be like a career backup.
Sam Howell. You guys said Ritter, right? I was talking about Sam Howell.
Okay.
Yeah,
that could be. But he's kind of like like Tim Tebow to me.
Gives you that kind of feel. But I think he's smarter. I think he reads the defenses better.
Given, sure.
He had a natural feel for moving in the pocket and keeping his eyes down the field. That's what I was watching with him.
Yeah.
He could move around the pocket, not take off, unless he really had to.
Another guy like that I saw, it was in the East-West Shrine game, and that Crum from Kent State.
Yeah, Crum.
Yeah,
okay.
I kind of like that kid, But I'm still not willing to give up draft picks for these guys right now. I do kind of waffle. Because, Ritter, if he fell to the third round, I mean.
You got to iron that out.
I know, I do. Hey, waffle iron. I have to move to Belgium. get me some strawberries or something.
Cream.
Well, if you're talking about quarterbacks, too, you can't forget about, the Montez kid. That's still on there, too. I mean,
but he's such an outlier, dude. It 6'7" or what the
he's
hell
he is? He's a monster of a person. He's got 6'4". Big dude.
He's a big dude.
He's a pocket passer, no doubt about it. But if you got to tackle him, you're going to have a hard time doing it because he's so big.
Right.
Tom, I think Stephen Montez could probably be Tim Boyle's Achilles heel in it, so. I think he's big enough to outplay him. We'll just have to see.
It's competition. Nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing at all. He's an undrafted free agent, just like the rest of them. But he's still on the roster.
It is
after last year, he's still on the roster.
Yeah, because you got Blau, and then you got two tall guys with Boyle and Montez. Montez being even taller than Boyle, and a lot bigger. Boyle's pretty slight. Compared, it makes me wonder what they're actually looking for in a quarterback. I think Blau, he's a good clipboard holder, he's smart, he's a good guy to have around in that sense.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. I was watching CBS Sports, I think it was, I don't know if it was a podcast or whatever, but I don't remember who the host was, but he had Ray Lewis with him, and they were talking about the playoff games, And so he asked Ray, what'd you think about the Chief, Bengals game, And Ray kind of smiled. I think I love Ray. He's real cool. He's kind of smiling. He says, I don't think it was Patrick Mahomes' best game. He was, being very diplomatic about it, And he kind of smiled and he says, all that running around stuff is cute. People like it, and whatever. But he says, passing from the pocket wins games.
Yeah. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
And I'm like, thank you, Ray.
That's exactly coming
from a middle linebacker.
That's right? How I feel, too. I mean, you want the bigger guy. You want the guy who
want somebody
that can take it down.
That can anticipate where the ball's supposed to go and throw it. Even if it means getting smacked in the chops when you do it.
Right. But the
thing your job is to get that ball out.
Burrow did that quite a bit in that game.
That's why he's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I like the bigger guys, because they can take that smack in the chops and still make the pass.
Josh Allen.
So, I like Josh Allen, too.
I just want guys that are smart.
But like that guy from the Ravens and the guy from Kansas City and You know, a kid from Houston, you know, those guys are those scat back type quarterbacks. And I don't think they work. They do work. You know, he's
proven it.
But they get hurt. They're going to get hurt.
Yep, they are going to get hurt. They do get hurt more. And you don't want your first thought to be, oh, well, I can always run, you know, run away, you know. Yeah, the second half of the season, I really thought Mahomes ran out of the pocket several times, almost several times a game, when he didn't need to.
Yeah.
I mean, like, your protection's fine. Why are you taking off? You know, but he got through the first couple of reads.
I can get 30 yards right here, man.
Yeah, he kind of got through his first couple of reads, and, oh, you know, everybody's covered. Oh, I got to go, you know, and it's like, give him a minute. You know, you don't have to run away. You know, give him two or three more steps, you know.
Right. But no, it's as soon as he does that spin move and pulls out of the pocket, your three steps are up.
Yeah.
You got to stay in the pocket.
Yeah.
And take the hit. He's like, I'm out of here. I'm not taking the hit. I can get 30 yards. Right? So,
but how often does he actually get that 30 yards?
Right.
And in the end, like say, you know, I mean, sometimes you end up, you know, he is good about sliding. And Murray's getting better at that, too. You know, all these running quarterbacks are getting a little bit better at sliding. But when you look at guys like, you know, Lamar Jackson, I mean, league MVP, goes to the Super Bowl, all this kind of fun stuff, you know. He's a one-year wonder, you know, because he got beat up so much. And the fact that he's never learned how to be a decent pocket passer.
Yeah.
So he's still young.
He's gotten better and he'll get better.
He needs to get better.
Yeah. And his
growth is slow.
Willis in the same way, and that he'll get better, and he's got the strongest arm.
We don't need it right now.
So like I said, if we're going to take a quarterback, it's going
to
be...
if you don't know when and where to throw it.
If they're going to take a quarterback, it would be another undrafted free agent or maybe even, you know, a second-year guy that got, you know, who's a free agent. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, like
yeah. If they can find somebody that's a better fit than Boyle, and hey, I'm all for it.
$2 million.
But I don't want to spend a bunch of money on it.
No, and I don't either.
I think he's 1.7.
We don't have a bunch of money.
In my head. I don't know if that's right.
I wanted to say 2.25.
Either
way, it's cheap. Yeah. You know, for quarterbacks, and that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not easy to bring in a quarterback that cheap.
It is not.
Nope.
All right. So
besides that, some of the guys that stood out to you.
Yeah.
In the Senior Bowl.
Well, my guy that I brought up last year. He's a wide receiver from North Dakota State. What's his name, Randy?
He's your guy, Rich.
It's your guy.
I have to look at my file cabinet.
I don't know which guy you're talking about.
You'll know. As soon as I find him in my scratched up notes here.
Your guy, huh? What guy is it, Randy? I don't know.
I probably didn't write it down because I figured I wouldn't forget.
North Dakota State?
Yes, North Dakota State. I can.
What position?
Wilson? Wide receiver. Christian Wilson? Is that his name? This is great podcasting.
God. You're on top of it.
I know his first name is Christian, and he is from North Dakota State University, and he was Trey Lance's wide receiver and kick returns, 6'4", 211 pounds. He's outside receiver, can play inside if need be.
Right, he can move around.
Yeah, he's
reading that about
one of the most athletically gifted guys in the draft. I'm excited for the combine, March 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th, I believe it's 3rd, is when it starts on TV at any rate. So I expect him to be fast and agile, swift, probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 speed at least.
At least, yeah, hopefully.
How about you, Randy? You got
I tell you what, if you want to talk about wide receivers, I probably got like, I got three or four guys here.
I was talking about players from the Senior Bowl.
I know.
That stood out to you.
Yeah, and I got four guys.
From the Senior Bowl.
Okay, wide receiver.
I didn't know any of the wide receivers stood out, but go for it.
Velus J. Jones. Velus Jones Jr., or Velus, I guess you spell it. He has 4.38 speed, 6'0", 200 pounds, Texas. he was one of the guys that I thought stood out really well as far as the other guy that Zappi has probably got sick of is Boy Mafe from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, outside linebacker, 6'4", 265, 265 pounds. Another guy that I thought stood out was N'Kobe Dean, but I don't know if he actually played.
No, I don't believe so.
No, but he stood out to me.
When?
Just I watched some tape on him. Linebacker, if you want to go defense, gotcha. You know, I like N'Kobe Dean. He is a little undersized. He is more of a gap shooter type.
But he's a good coverage linebacker.
He is.
Yeah, he's really fast.
I think he's
fast.
More of a safety, like that hybrid safety.
There's a couple
safety.
Of guys that are like that
in
this draft that might go a little bit farther down that Detroit could pick up. But the guy that really stood out to me was the guy that, if everybody remembers listening last week when I couldn't remember the guy that's name started with a P, defensive tackle out of Oklahoma, is Perrion Winfrey. And he was defensive player of the game for the Senior Bowl. Had a great game.
Yeah, he did. He was
really
all
good
over the
penetration.
Place.
Was good against the run. That's a guy that was kind of like looked at. I would say in the top 50 that I think his stock is rising. And if he's still there at the top of the first or beginning of the second round, I think that he would be a good pick for Detroit. He would fill right into the Brockers role,
right.
You know, and we're only going to have Brockers probably for another year if that, you know, depending on how good his health is.
How old is he? 20,
well, he's 31, 30, I think. Yep. So that's a natural replacement, and he's a good penetrating, you know, he can play both 3 and 5. You know, the 4-eye tech would be absolutely perfect for him in this defense.
Right. The question is, though, is who are they going to get to replace Williams? Because I don't think Williams is going to come back. Yeah, Nick Williams.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to come back this year.
Well, he didn't really play up to even his contract, even though he took a bit of a, contract hit. He's still, he's another guy he's a great in the locker room. You know, great teammate, all that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah.
But he is, in his 30s.
Yeah, getting longer than two.
You know, and he really only had one great year with, you know, in Chicago, and that was it. He's been adequate, but probably not really up to his contract.
So,
I'd like to see him maybe find somebody that's. And there's a lot of defensive players out there.
You want to do that in the draft? You want to do that in free agency?
Both.
Yeah.
Nick Williams, I'd probably free agency if they can. If they can find a
younger guy that could, for less
young
money.
Younger veteran. Well, even if it's the same money, if you get better production.
Oh, yeah, because he wasn't getting paid that much
anyway.
Yeah,
$5 million or something like that.
Right.
You know, and that's basically average, veteran
right. yep. pay.
Salary.
Cap.
Yep. So,
well,
because
cool.
You got Owens and Ricky, but you really don't have much else there. We'll see. I mean, you got Cornell. You know, you got young guys.
Yeah, Pedicini and Levi.
Well, Pedicini is and McNeil are in the middle.
Yep. Oh yeah, those are your big plug guys.
Yeah, those are your nose tackles, and they both have a little bit of versatility. They can move from the 0 to 3. You know, and you like some guys that can move from 3 to 5.
Yeah, see that's what I've always liked about Detroit's line is they do move the guys around a lot. You know, they look for versatility. This type of defense calls for that. You know, you don't want
because they offset.
Yeah, you don't want guys lining up at the same place every time. Kind of throws your offense off, the offense off. You know, so
to end the suspense, it's Christian Watson. That's
Watson.
Yeah.
Wilson Watson, come on.
Yeah.
Watson.
Christian Watson.
Yeah.
Yes. North Dakota State. Small school. And he is getting some hype.
Yeah. And that's like, second round, lead second round, third round type of guy, I'm thinking. I don't know what they can do to position themselves correctly for that.
Yeah,
but,
definitely, yep.
That would, something like that would save us from a first round wide receiver.
Yeah.
Or a second round
wide receiver.
I don't
see Brad Holmes doing that this year.
I don't either. But he is like, to me, he's the kind of guy that he would like. That Brad Holmes would like.
Yeah.
But
like you said, like in the third round or something.
Exactly, which I think we don't have a a fifth rounder, or is it a fourth rounder?
Fourth.
We don't have a fourth.
No fourth rounder.
We really don't have a fourth or a fifth, but we should be getting a fifth round compensatory.
Right. And the third round compensatory pick we have is the first pick before the fourth round.
First pick after the third
round. After the third round.
Right, before the fourth round.
Because there's only one pick.
After the third, before the fourth.
Yeah, that's the highest compensatory pick you can get.
Last of the third or first of the fourth.
Well, it's only one pick. Actually, so it can be both.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's only one third round. We haven't gotten it official, but that's what I've heard.
Exactly. And that's what we're going by.
So you know, the deal here is with wide receivers is speed. You know, Eric Schlick came out with a text saying that on the first day, Romeo Doubs had like the fastest speed of the day at 21.25 miles an hour. I sent him back a text and I asked him. I says, "Is that still?" This is like on day three, and he said, and I asked him. I says, "Does he still hold the record or did it get beat?" And he said, "No, at that point in time, he was in third place." And in front of him was. What the heck? Danny Gray.
A lot of people like
22 miles an hour even.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. And then, of course, my guy, Velus Jones Jr., 21.75 miles an hour.
And he's from Mobile. And so that was like a hometown gig for him.
Yeah.
And it was nice that the coaching staff gave him the trick play on the opening kickoff. Right, is the pitch went to Velus.
I see. Yeah.
I missed that.
Yep.
But I thought that was interesting. Eric pulled through on that one photo.
Okay, good.
I like.
Well, we know that Brad Holmes loves those on field speeds. Compared to
My guy Watson had a 22 mile an hour speed on a.
That's getting up there.
That's fast. In the
one game that North Dakota State played in 2020, mm-hmm. so he didn't. You know, he had a good 2021 season, but 2020, he had one chance, he got 22 miles an hour on his punt return for a touchdown. It looked like basically his head was above everybody on that field. That's all you saw for a while. There was his helmet just running down the field, and everyone's chasing him.
Gotta love it when your team's got a guy that can do that. No doubt about it.
And what Antoine Randall was quoted as saying, he wants to draft two wide receivers and get one in free agency.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how
it goes. We all want.
I don't know if we'll draft two or not, because that's a little ahead of schedule, honestly. We got to build this
team. Well, we got to get through free agency first. I think we should talk about that next week, maybe just see who's coming down the line on free agency that Detroit might be interested in.
Yeah, because there's tons of guys.
Yeah, there is. I've got a few written down already, so.
Yeah, and there's a few positions we're probably going to hopefully target.
Yeah, like we've said before, from what we have right now, our two starting safeties are free agents. Our two starting inside linebackers are free agents. One of our starting outside linebackers is a free agent. One of our starting defensive tackles is a free agent.
Yep.
So all of those guys, you have to, draft or sign to replace them.
And hopefully you can upgrade when you do that.
Yeah.
The money.
If you've got two safeties, I'd like to, draft one and sign one. Same thing with inside linebackers. If you bring back Jalen Reeves-Maven, to me, he's still a secondary guy. To me, I still want to draft plus sign a guy.
Right, you want to upgrade, but he's still a pretty solid piece of the program. Yeah. You want to kind of bring him back, I believe.
Hopefully.
I'd like to see him back.
Yeah, sign a guy like Sign.
He's got good,
sign. I'm up for that. I like that guy.
You draft him, I guess.
Yeah. Draft him. Yeah,
so those guys might be in play. A lot of people don't think that Holmes would draft somebody that high as a defensive back, because he's so good at getting the guys in later rounds. But at the same time, if you got a guy that's a good fit, just go ahead and draft them.
That's it. Yeah, I'm finding those guys all over the place, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to just. At some point I'll choose, but
we really really want to trade back and get more picks, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
The
we
whole, do. Like, Thibodeau, Hamilton, Aiden Hutchinson thing is really just a chore to me, you know?
Yeah. It's like, annoying. Oh, just like, man, I don't want to hear about it anymore, you know? It's like, look at some of these mock drafts, and, you know, you go, number two pick, Aiden Hutchinson, you know, it's like, no, come on. The next one's Hamilton. I don't know. I'd rather move back. If you want to take an edge guy, I like Carl Loftus from Penn State.
There's a whole bunch of guys. See what Malone was doing? 230 pounds. And he's so fast. He's powering into 315-pound tackles, hitting them low in the chest and driving them back.
No doubt.
You know, 5 feet into the quarterback. At 230 pounds. You know, I mean, you want, you like the big outside linebackers, but you also want a guy that's got speed.
Yeah, he's from Western Kentucky. 234 pounds right now, so he's going to be fast.
Yeah. There's a couple of guys that are in that 235 range that are really fast. Yeah. Well, they're edge guys.
Right, yeah. Well, they need to be fast if they're going to beat that outside tackle there.
But you're looking for the bend, the speed, so the awareness, the moves, you know. They have counter moves, you know. What do they know? How well can they be taught?
Right.
You know, but the natural physical, attributes is really what you're initially looking
for. Yeah, the athleticism and the versatility. Yeah. Quickness and bend are the
two biggest things with edges. You know, and can he hold an edge, in a run game?
Right, yeah. Push it all back inside.
Yeah,
you got Max Williams. Is that
Max Williams.
He's just incredible. You know, it's so up and down.
Yeah, he was another one that really showed out. That's like a second, third round guy.
Abiketti from Penn State. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the list is going on and on.
Yep. Drake. He's a high guy. He's probably going to go high in the second round or late first. You know, another guy with a really good, quick first step. And he's like in that 245 to 250 range, and he's got a quick step.
We've talked about the salary cap issues that kind of are hitting the teams hard now. And you're not necessarily going to be able to sign your free agents because there's so many and they're you're backed up. You pushed your contracts ahead a year, and now the same reason with the deluge of players that went back to school last year are now coming out, and there's just a lot of talent.
Yeah,
it's that you just can't. I can't even fathom right now. I'm still like, oh my gosh.
Well, as we head into the off season here, we're definitely going to have to take some time. Maybe next week we'll. Really dive in a little bit more into the free agents that are available that can replace some of these guys that, we're talking about. Can we get upgrades at decent costs, and find people that fit our system?
Did we talk about the linebacker Troy Anderson?
No,
Montana State. They call him the Swiss Army knife.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
6'4", 235. Right there, that same weight group.
Right.
We
watched Chad Muma on the national team Saturday. Yep, he looks basically like, a natural Anzalone replacement, if you wanted to go in that direction. I don't know if he'll still be around by the top of the third round or not, but, kind of in that range. We had Damani Clark, I believe, on the American squad. He's not a bad-looking kid. You got Quay Walker out of Georgia.
Yep.
That's a good-looking guy. You got several guys there that are kind of in the bigger Mike modes, and then you got a lot of guys that have speed that are decent coverage backs this year.
And we could really use two linebackers.
Yeah.
Inside linebackers. Yep. And two outside linebackers. Yep. So.
Yep. And that's where the strength is to me in this draft is, in those outside linebackers.
See, Bill, I got this
pretty strong tight end, too.
I've heard.
I think it was Danny Rogers had an interview with this Tyson Anderson. Safety from Toledo. He was at the Senior Bowl being coached by Lions coach Jet Modkins. So he's a safety. So
and special yeah. teams.
So yeah,
Botkins was the special teams coach at the Senior Bowl, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. That's well, then, yeah, maybe yeah. this kid—they're talking like kick returns, you know, because he's a safety.
So one thing, we've got about 5 minutes left here, and one thing real quick before we get into this, talking a little bit about the Super Bowl, is that just to mention, Jalen Reeves-Maven was at the Senior Bowl. He was hanging around with guys, and, you know, it's like, yeah, we're pretty sure this guy is going to come back.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I remember right, he was hanging out with all the scouts and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much involved yep. with the Detroit Lion organization.
So. Yeah, so, yeah, don't know if he was, you know, scouting his replacement or his teammate.
Right. Yeah, no doubt.
So, anyway, Super Bowl coming up on Sunday.
Super Bowl.
Woo-hoo. Cincinnati Bengals.
Donuts for everyone.
Randy Los Summits. Angeles Rams.
Yes.
Donuts for everybody.
I got the Rams. I got the Rams. That's yeah.
We're all rooting for the Rams.
Yeah, so, big time.
I'm not putting any money on it.
Don't be either.
It should be a really good game.
I got hedged bets. So
yeah, we should know.
You went both ways.
Yeah. We should know what Cincinnati is going to do after the first quarter. I mean, if they're going to hang in there or... It might be depends. I mean, can they go?
Both teams are capable of coming back in the fourth quarter.
Right, no. Exactly. You know, neither team was a good first half team.
Yeah. They might just stink it up and then just go nuts in the fourth quarter.
They're getting like 80 points in the second half.
Yeah. Definitely rooting for Matt Stafford, you know. Not necessarily the Rams, but yeah, Matt Stafford.
47-35 or whatever the hell. I'm like, holy crap. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, it should be a good game. Yeah. Really looking forward to it.
Everyone talks about the 3 years it took Cincinnati to get there.
Yeah but it kind of solidifies Detroit's loss to for me. You know, so
well, Detroit, that was one of the beatdowns.
Yeah, they whooped us big time. Yeah, you know, so
that was and Philly was another one. They were a playoff team.
That was the whole thing when we played all four teams from the NFC or the AFC North. Cincinnati was definitely the toughest team.
Yep.
To me, there was no doubt about it. They were better than the Browns. They were, you know, definitely better than the Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they surprised me because in the beginning of the season, I kind of was thinking that they would be, wouldn't be that.
They were projected to be last in their division.
Yes, exactly. You
instead,
know
they won their division.
Oh, this might be an easy win. You know, no, it was far from that.
And it's but everybody's coming in fairly healthy, I want to say.
Yeah, unless you want to talk about Okuda and Okora.
Oh, he's talking about the Super Bowl still? Or
sorry. Yeah. that was an earlier injury talk that we had off pod. But, yeah,
coming into the Super Bowl game, I think both teams should be looking pretty fair.
The Rams are getting their Henderson, their running back, back.
Okay.
You know, so that helps. They have others, you know, Akers and... Because
I think they're going to want to try to run the
ball. Sony Michel. Yeah. So they're going to have three brilliant running backs, Henderson, Michel, and Akers.
That'll help Matt out a little bit.
Keep Burrow off the field.
Hopefully.
Matt only had to throw like 17 times in the last game to get there. Right? So if they can keep running the ball, keep Burrow and Mixon off the field.
Both teams run the ball first half, and then just hell's going to break loose in the second half.
Right? Yeah, they're just trade blows, basically.
You got to run the damn ball. That's all. You know.
That's
going
to be
run
fun.
Run the damn ball.
Fun. So, anything else in 30 seconds?
No. Good. So the Rams, we'll try to get together the
Drake Johnson from USC is the edge player
Johnson.
You were thinking of.
Yeah.
There we go.
Look for it.
Yeah, he's another really nice edge linebacker. Yep.
Tying up loose ends.
So we've got a ton of them in this draft.
Awesome.
Don't have to take one first.
Right.
If we don't want to.
Don't have to.
You know, if we can trade out of it, that's great.
Yeah. Got months to talk about it.
Yep.
All right. Here on the M66 North Detroit Lions podcast, at M66NDLP on Twitter, Randy's at WoodenTunes2 on Twitter, Tom is at Twitter Tom. I think I got that right. I kind of just play a game with that because I don't really know, and was there not there anyways.
Yeah.
And it's always been that kind of fun thing for us. We We have fun where we can.
Yeah, he's there, but he's not there.
Yes.
Only the shadow knows.
And that's it for the Senior Bowl. We'll keep. I got half a page of notes I didn't even get to on that. So we'll just keep pulling from things as we go here in the off season. Get our friends back on here. We'll get Rocky and Todd back on here, and just keep the thing rolling up here in the snow in the cold north of the 45th. Watch for Dear One Pride. Go Lions.